Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia and today is September 17th, 2015. Today I will be talking about loving yourself in relationship to others as part 10 from my self-loathing to self-loving series. I would like to invite you to visit my websites narcissismfree.com and pathbacktoself.com. where you will find lots of articles, books, audio programs, and information to assist you in growing forward in your life. I also offer counseling and hypnotherapy by phone for those of you wishing to work with me one-on-one. And for a limited time, I've reduced the price of all my books and audios as a thank you for your support. You can now get many of my books and audios for only $9.97. My broadcasts are supported by the sale of my books and audios, and all of your support is greatly appreciated, so thank you in advance. One thing I've learned in my middle ages is that all relationships can be challenging because our relationships are our mirrors, reflecting some aspect of our hidden self back to us. Many of our relationships are superficial, meaning we don't dare show all of who we are or take the risk of being truly honest with the other. I'm not referring to significant romantic relationships only, but all relationships with friends, family, co-workers, and children. We can go a lifetime with someone in our lives and never truly reveal ourselves or be completely honest with the other. This is out of our own self-protection and desire to avoid rocking the boat. If the boat is afloat, it is good enough for most of us. Why take the risk of sinking the ship? We are often kind as we believe we should be, but we hide our true feelings beneath our kindness. Sometimes this might be necessary, but it doesn't really progress our relationships to a deeper level of intimacy. The more transparent we can be in our relationships, the deeper intimacy we can experience. To be transparent in our relationships, we must walk through our fear. We so often fear rejection and abandonment by those we love and care about. If we speak too much truth, it may not be well received. Therefore, we keep quiet and suppress our true feelings in order to remain safe at the level of intimacy we currently have. What I've found is that everyone I meet and have known has relationship challenges. It is part of life. We all have wounded parts. We all have soft places that get poked and aggravated. We all have different levels of sensitivity, and we all live in different worlds. We have to invest some effort in building a bridge between your world and mine. We have to seek out common ground to find the best way to communicate effectively with each other. Since we all have different ways of viewing the world, each one of us must learn to understand that there is nobody exactly like us. We are unique, and our way of viewing the world is unique. We can't expect someone else to always agree with us or with our views. Each individual has a right to his or her own views. We don't want to shove our views down anyone's throat, nor do we want anyone shoving their views down ours. Relationships lacking in compassion and empathy are extremely difficult because the one lacking in empathy cannot conceive of another's view other than his or her own. That person is often offended if someone expresses an opposing viewpoint. When we have a relationship with someone like this, we can't easily express our own unique perspective without an argument or rejection. It is our empathy that allows us to see things from a different perspective and attempt to understand another's viewpoint. This is where the bridge between worlds is built. Our compassion and empathy also allows us to consider other people's wounds and be sensitive to their circumstances, their challenges, and their needs. Narcissistic people are not in touch with their feelings. They're in denial of feeling and therefore can't feel for anyone else, else, which explains the lack of compassion and empathy. If you can't feel, you can't feel for anyone else. Now, narcissistic people may have connection to their feeling selves through rage, anger, and sometimes tears, but these feelings are very archaic and primal. Narcissistic people are not usually raging or crying for the reason they believe. They are temporarily accessing the wounded aspect that was locked away a very long time ago, and due to the strong narcissistic defense structure, the window to the feeling self will slam shut just as quickly as it opens. It's important not to mistake rageful outbursts and spontaneous crying for someone who is in touch with his or her feelings. We live in a society where people, on the most part, are disconnected from their hearts and feeling selves. Emotional health involves being connected to one's feelings, and there's not a lot of education or support in our society to be open and honest with one's feelings. We tend to live primarily in our heads and intellectualize everything, including our feelings. You may find yourself thinking, "Why am I feeling this way? What is wrong with me?" This may be a program that was installed in childhood when a parent or primary person in your life could not deal with his or her own emotional world, so needed to suppress yours by causing you to feel that your feelings were wrong. Feelings can never be wrong. They just are, like the weather. We don't make the weather wrong, even if it's destructive. We learn that weather patterns are something we don't have control over. We can only ride out the storm and deal with whatever nature brings our way. Of course, we learn to manage our emotions. I like to use the word manage instead of control because the deeper truth is we don't really control our emotions. We suppress them. We express them. But we don't have a lot of control over how we feel. We feel however we feel. What we need to learn to do with our feelings is to honor them, accept them, explore them, and perhaps explore the deeper causes. If you have a disturbing feeling rather than trying to suppress it, why not bring the feeling up to the surface and explore why it is there and what message it has for you? Our feelings are our internal environment thermometer. They alert us to what's going on the inside. The more we repress or suppress our feelings, the more we cut off from our true selves. One very common thing that happens in our relationships with others is this thing called projection. That which is suppressed, pushed down into the shadow of our psyche, is mirrored to us by those we are in relationship with, whether it be friends, family members, co-workers, or significant others. We can even project our dark side onto a stranger, someone standing in line with you, or a checkout clerk, another driver in traffic, or even someone on an online forum. That which we disown or disconnect with within ourselves is projected onto others, and we often accuse or blame others for something that is really hidden within ourselves. For example, you may be sitting on a whole lot of anger and being unaware of how masterfully you are suppressing your anger. And you find yourself getting angry at others at the drop of a hat for what you perceive they are doing that offends you. You may even accuse others of being angry or having a problem with anger, denying the anger that is hidden in your own psyche. Someone may be triggering you or irritating you in some way, and you find yourself disliking that person, but commonly, that which you dislike in another may be a quality you are suppressing within yourself. A need to be in control, for example, is common amongst people who feel very out of control in their lives. When they find themselves in a relationship or situation with someone they perceive to be very controlling, it might have its roots in feeling out of control in one's own life. or that person may indeed be very controlling, but it's extremely irritating to you because you have a very controlling aspect in your shadow that you have not yet owned. Another possibility is that rather than having a controlling aspect within you, you have a passive aspect that is easily controlled and manipulated. And so when someone is being controlling with you, you lash out at them rather than look at your own passivity in being able to speak out or stand up for yourself. The more we bring what is hidden within our shadow to light, the more self-aware we become and the stronger our relationships with others. When we are self-aware, we are much less likely to get into or stay in controlling, dominating, or abusive situations. We no longer need those situations to reflect what is hidden within us. Ironically, we learn what is hidden within our own shadow through our relationships with others. We learn to courageously look at what is triggering us and irritating us. We can then take a deeper look into why we are feeling so aggravated by the actions or behavior of another. We can usually trace it to some unhealed wound within ourselves. Regardless of the unhealthy and toxic behavior of another, when we dance with the other through active engagement with that person, we're normally drawn to such a person or circumstance on a subconscious level in order to become aware of a hidden aspect within ourselves. Obviously, it takes great courage to look at oneself this deeply and become self-aware. It is uncomfortable to own one's dark side or shadow, especially if you have core shame and a core belief of unworthiness. Any unflattering information you learn about yourself can easily be projected onto others, so you don't have to suffer the discomfort of activating core shame, which tells you, there is something really wrong with me. When you're suffering from core shame and a belief that you are somehow not good enough or not worthy, it's easy to believe this feeling is unique to you. However, most people have either deep-seated shame or guilt at their core. It's a societal program passed down from generation to generation and rooted in our religious belief systems. We become defensive with each other in order to protect our wounded parts. One may defend the emerging belief, there is something wrong with me, by trying to be right all the time. This is a narcissistic defense system. A need to be right comes from a fear of being wrong, bad, inadequate, or inferior. And most of us suffer from this to some degree. I once heard someone say, who was a specialist in healing relationship fractures, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? A need to be right can cause all kinds of fractures in our relationships, and yet it is a built-in defense mechanism in most people. Sometimes all it would take to mend a broken relationship in one person is a willingness to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Or a willingness to say what I did was wrong. A narcissistic person will rarely ever admit fault or admit he or she was wrong because his or her defense structure is so deeply rooted in a need to be seen as good, right, and superior. Admitting fault may be admitting human weakness or frailty, which is something a narcissistic person loathes. A narcissist often needs to see himself or herself as above human weakness. A relationship with someone like this is often impossible because when one always needs to be right, he or she will always need to make the other wrong. The blame for every problem in the relationship will usually fall upon the other. A healthy relationship can only happen when two people are willing to admit fault and take responsibility for their own dark side. We all have a dark side, and not one of us are completely pure and innocent of wrongdoing. We act and react from what is hidden in our shadow. We all have a shadow, no matter how evolved or spiritually aware we are. It's also important to understand that nobody is perfect. When you make a conscious decision to enter into a relationship with someone, you must do so with the understanding that what appears to be perfect on the outside will soon reveal an opposite side. The dark side of each one of us will be brought to the surface in our deepest interactions with others. Sooner or later, there will be a disagreement, a difference in opinion, or a conflict of some sort. How we handle those conflicts tells us how successful we will be in that relationship. If you are someone who runs from conflict, you will never truly be successful in your relationships. If you are in relationship with someone who runs from conflict, you will not have a successful relationship with that person. You may have a superficial relationship, but not an in-depth one. A real relationship is one where two people are willing to be transparent and intimate with each other. And this involves a willingness to be honest, to be self-reflective, and share one's deeper truth. We also need to be willing to be transparent about our own weaknesses, but we need to feel safe in doing so. In narcissistic relationships, if you are transparent about your weakness, the narcissist will use your weaknesses against you to control and manipulate you. Narcissists, as I said before, loathe human weakness and fragility. Finding someone you feel safe with can take some time. We have to be willing to understand and accept our own weaknesses and understand what gets in our way of having successful relationships. It's not only that it can be difficult to find someone out there to engage intimately with. So often we can develop a fear of intimacy because intimacy involves being transparent, being seen, and most people fear this. If we have a strong fear of intimacy, we will likely be attracted to others who fear intimacy, and our relationship really never goes very deep. In my experience, I always wanted a deep, intimate relationship. But after my last long-term relationship, I realized that as much as I desired true intimacy, I was also terrified of it. Of course, at the time, this was difficult for me to admit to myself. I had to admit that I was attracted to men who were afraid of intimacy because there was a certain safety in that. I could still hide myself in that relationship to a certain degree. I didn't realize at the time I needed to hide to feel safe. Being completely open and honest was terrifying. I feared being seen in a negative light, being rejected, abandoned, and hurt. These were old wounds I wasn't completely aware of, even though I'd gone through a lot of personal and spiritual growth. This awareness came to me as I was going through a dark night of the soul that resulted in my knowing myself better than I ever had. I faced some pretty dark places within and met the person I was afraid of showing to others. I became more transparent with myself, which allowed me to be more transparent with others. I've dabbled in romantic relationships since then, but they've been more mirrors to reflect what still remained unhealed in myself. I passed through these relationships rather than committed to them because I was so aware of the unhealthy aspects in these relationships and didn't choose to remain in them. In my last long-term relationship, I unearthed a strong fear of abandonment within myself that rapidly came to the surface when the man in my life abruptly disconnected from me. Although a part of me knew it was for the best that he was gone, another part of me was in deep pain from the overwhelming feelings of abandonment. Healing my abandonment wound was next in line for me. The relationships I have brought into my life since then have helped me to understand and heal this wound on a deeper level. I learned not to take the actions and behavior of others so personally. The deeper truth is that how people behave says a whole lot more about them than it does about you. We need to learn how not to take others so personally. Everybody is at their own level of development and comfort with intimacy. If we start to get involved with someone and realize they just aren't where we are and don't want the same thing, it is time to detach and let go. And I've learned to do this very quickly. Each time I made a choice in alignment with my integrity, I was practicing self-love, and as a result, felt so much better about myself. When we bring our deepest wounds to the surface and face them, they can be healed and we can move beyond the pattern that has kept us in a continual cycle of pain and fear, or that keep us holding on to a relationship that is toxic or abusive in some way. We begin to understand there's a much better existence for ourselves, even if that existence involves being alone for a time. Although I've always loved my alone time, now I have faced the deep aching loneliness within myself and filled that emptiness with the parts of myself I'd been cut off from. I feel whole. I don't feel I need anyone to come in and fill the space. I fill the space. Now if I allow anyone into my space, it is to enhance my life in some way, not to fill some unmet need. We have to learn to meet our own needs, but before we do, we have to know what they are. What are your unmet needs? How have you been trying to get them met? How is that working for you? My needs were pretty basic, I discovered. I had a need to be loved, cared about, honored, and respected. I attracted people into my life who did not love me, care about me, honor, or respect me. I had a need to feel worthy. I didn't feel worthy because I took the behavior of people who did not care about me or respect me as a sign that I was not worth caring about. And I had to change that. I had to become that person worth caring about by learning to really care about myself, to honor myself, and respect myself, which is ultimately self-love. I also had to admit to myself that there was an unconscious part of myself that was attracted to people who could not really care about me, see me, or value me, so that I could learn to care about and value myself in a much deeper way. As I said before, our shadow calls forth its mirror so that we can heal, learn, and grow. We meet our match. It may be only for the moment. And as we are willing to look at what is being triggered in our own shadow through the relationships we are in, we can heal what is rising to the surface. In my experience, I've learned that the journey of self-exploration never ends. We don't just arrive one day and then life stops bringing us lessons. Life is a series of never-ending lessons, and the people who come into our lives are our greatest teachers, even if the teaching is through pain and adversity. I'm becoming better at facing the challenges that show up in my life, but I'm not yet a master. In fact, masters are few and far between. Although many people present themselves as masters, when you peer deeply into the hidden life of a self-proclaimed master, you will often find a lot of unresolved issues and even a lack of integrity. I believe it can take a lifetime to bring that which is hidden in our shadow to light. Some people never do, but those who work really hard may clear out enough of their shadow to live a happy and fulfilling life, not just on the surface, but from the depths of their soul. And this is my greatest aspiration, to live true to myself, to be fulfilled in my life, to walk in integrity, to serve others, and to meet life's challenges with grace and ease. I still have a lot to learn and a lot to teach. We teach what we are learning. Teachers are not masters. They are students who have accumulated a certain amount of knowledge and expertise. And when we stop being the student, we become a false prophet. The greatest teacher any of us will ever have lives within us. It is the still, small voice within. And my greatest role as a teacher is to put people in touch with their true divine nature so they can learn to really trust themselves and follow their deepest intuitive guidance. When you follow the voice of truth as it speaks to you from within, you can never go wrong. This ends my broadcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.